Hello, and welcome to First Baptist Church.
Good evening, and welcome to First Baptist Church, Bowling Green, Kentucky, for this Friday night virtual Vespers. And we know we're going to be encouraged tonight as we look at a song that has shaped the hearts and minds of followers of Jesus for quite some time now. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you, and we thank you so much for the ways in which you continue to stir our souls and remind us of the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ our Lord. Bless us tonight and make us more like Jesus, for it's in His precious and holy name that we pray. Amen.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea.
A few years ago, I had a buddy of mine load some worship music onto my phone. It was when the iPhone was relatively new, and I was still trying to figure it out. So I had a friend who's several years younger than me who knew more about the iPhone than I did at the time, and I handed him my phone and said, "Man, put some worship music on here that I can just use to encourage myself throughout the course of the day." One of the songs that he loaded on there was, quite frankly, a song that I had forgotten about, called Before the Throne of God Above. And I gotta tell you, as I was just listening to the songs that he had loaded, I was so taken by this song and so taken by its depth and richness that I put it on repeat and I listened to it over and over and over again. And honestly, I just wept. I just wept at the depth of the profundity of the theological truths that this song was communicating. And so tonight, as we look at this song and the story behind it, I want to invite us to look together at a passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to look at Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. And we're going to see the great truth that is communicated in this song, that it came from a great truth communicated in this text. So Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. The writer of Hebrews writes, as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit, saying this, "Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So much rich truth communicated here. And I just want to remind you of the truth of the gospel, that God sent His Son to people like you and me. We were sinners. And the Bible tells us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Remember, Jesus lived a life without sin. He never sinned one time in thought, word, deed. He didn't sin in action or attitude. He didn't sin by omission, where he failed to do what God had commanded to do. And he didn't sin by commission, in which he would have done what God explicitly commanded not to do. He didn't sin one time in 33 years of human life. That is unbelievable. If you're like me, you find it hard to get through 33 seconds of human life without sin. And he went 33 years, but he never sinned. He was tempted, though. He was tempted in every way, just as we are tempted. And so here's the thing. If you face a temptation, here's what you can know. Jesus was tempted in that same way, and He did not fall. What an amazing Savior. He was tempted in every way in which we are tempted, and yet He never sinned. And so He goes, as our prophet, priest, and king. And the writer of Hebrews is reminding us that Jesus is our great high priest who has gone before us, who has faced temptation and never fallen, and who has then given His life so that we might be redeemed. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that God made Him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And so we talk about this a lot here at First Baptist Church. Jesus came to the cross and He was perfectly righteous. We approach the cross and we are perfectly sinful. And God made the perfectly righteous one to be sin. In other words, He took our sin upon Himself and He died on the cross the death that you and I deserve to die. I have a friend who said one time, Jesus didn't have a cross. We did, but He went to our cross for us. So He died the death we deserve to die, and then He gave us, who trust and follow Jesus, His righteousness, that we are dressed in His righteousness. So when we come to God, we come to God in only one way. I'm going to tell you, I can discern how well you understand the gospel with one question. And that one question is this. At the moment of your death, when you come to the pearly gates of heaven, if God were to ask you, why should I let you in? What would you say? Well, what would you say if God said, why should I let you into my heaven? Can I tell you? There's only one answer. The answer that many people give is, well, because I'm a pretty good person. Well, because I've tried hard. Well, because I've gone to church. Well, because I'm better than this person. There's only one answer, and it's none of those. The one answer to God's potential question of why should I let you into heaven is this: Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for me. Jesus rose from the grave, and I have placed every ounce of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's the only answer that holds up. So maybe tonight, when I asked that question, you had an answer come to mind that wasn't Jesus. Can I tell you? Right now, push pause and pray, Lord, I have misunderstood Your grace. I thought that heaven was for those who were good enough, those who worked hard enough, those who went to church enough, those who liked the right things on Facebook enough. But now I understand that my only hope of heaven is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross for me, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and rose again the third day, that He lives today. And Lord, I turn away from my sin, even the sin of thinking that I was good enough to earn heaven. And I humbly submit myself to Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. If you need to do that, stop the tape and do that right now. But if your answer is Jesus, then I want you to hear again the lyrics of this song. This song was originally written in 1863 by a woman named Charity Lees Bancroft in Ireland. And this song, based upon this passage, reminds us that for all of us who trust and follow Jesus, we have before the throne of God above a strong and perfect plea. So look with me again at these lyrics. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on His hands. My name is written on His heart. I know that while in heaven He stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see Him there who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on Him and pardon me. To look on Him and pardon me. Behold Him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I Am, the King of glory and of grace. One with Himself, I cannot die. My soul is purchased by His blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. One of the things that I don't know if you think about it often, but I've thought about it and I've encouraged others to think about it, is what are the songs that you want played at your funeral? It would be helpful if you would jot those down for those who will be there to plan that experience. But this is one of mine. First, In Christ Alone has to be played at my funeral. That is one of my absolute favorite songs ever in the history of the world. But I want this song played at my funeral, and here's why. If the Lord tarries and I pass away before He returns, I don't want anybody who might attend my funeral thinking that I went to heaven because I was a preacher, or because I pastored a certain church, or because I was good enough, or smart enough, or any of those things. I want everybody in that room to know that the only reason I would ever be allowed into heaven is because of Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. And I want them to know that the only reason they would ever be allowed into heaven is because of Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. And so before the throne of God above, what is your plea? Is it perfect? The only perfect plea is Jesus. The only plea that will get you forgiven of your sin is Jesus. The only plea that will cause the Father to say, "Come in, welcome home," is Jesus. And so I pray that before the throne of God above, your strong, your perfect plea is the great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for you. I pray that your name is graven on His hands. I pray that your name is written on His heart. I pray that you know that while in heaven He stands, no tongue can bid you thence depart. No tongue can bid you thence depart. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, we're so thankful for Jesus. And Lord, once again, we say our only hope of heaven is Jesus. We're not good enough. We're not smart enough. We haven't done enough good deeds. Lord, we are sinners in need of a Savior. And You have sent that perfect Savior who died on the cross, who rose from the grave, and who welcomes us to trust and follow Him that we might have eternal life. Lord, I pray that if anyone who's made it to this point in this broadcast has yet to turn to You and say, "Lord, I come to You with empty hands. I have nothing to offer You but my sinful self. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I make You my Lord and Savior." I pray that tonight they would know as they pray that prayer, as they lay aside all the reasons why they think they ought to be saved and come to the only reason that is effective in their salvation, that they would sense the cleansing brought about by our Jesus, the one who died that we might live. For it's in His precious and holy name that we pray. Amen.